There we go. Thank you. Okay, and I'm going to begin. So the points for today are those that you see on the screen. My goal is to get us through the content in about 15 to 20 minutes and leave the rest of the time for questions and discussion. This is meant to be as an informal presentation, so please stop me at your as questions come up throughout the presentation. We don't have to wait until the end. So I'm going to go fairly quickly in these first few slides because many of you have heard me talk about who we are and what is a carton many times before. So essentially, Carton Council, we're an industry organization created by the competing companies. Sorry, there was a bit of feedback there. The companies who make food and beverage cartons, who are competitors in everyday life, but who have joined forces for growing the recovery and recycling of cartons in Canada, which is our mandate, quite focused. And the members are those that you see at the bottom of the screen. So we've summarized our service offering to municipalities and MRFs in the four buckets that you see here on the screen. And just a reminder of what a carton is, it is those containers that you see on the screen, used mostly for beverages, but also for food, made mainly from paper, and presenting a number of environmental benefits, such as being lightweight and compact and having a low carbon footprint and being recyclable. What is not a food and beverage carton, so outside of my jurisdiction, are those items that you see on this screen. And if I could ask everyone to perhaps go on mute because we're getting a bit of feedback, that would be great. Okay, so now I want to spend a few minutes on the PSI grade 52. So PSI, Paper Stock Industries, is a national chapter of the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries. So back in 2011, they developed a grade for food and beverage cartons, which is this grade 52. So we highly encourage MRFs to sort cartons into this grade as opposed to sending or sorting cartons or baling them, I should say, with other fiber commodities. And the reason for this is that it allows to achieve the best yield for cartons when they're recycled on their own. And it allows to divert the poly and polyaluminum that we find in cartons. So that's not to say that it's absolutely essential to make a carton grade. Or, of course, what's most important to Carton Council is that cartons be accepted in the recycling program. So once that's achieved, then we could look at how could their sorting be optimized. So you have the specs of this grade on the screen here. This slide shows where the end markets for cartons are located. This information is on our website. So as you probably know, there is one recycler of cartons in Canada, Sustana Fibers, located in Lévis, Quebec. And it is part of the same group that also operates the other Sustana Fiber mill in Wisconsin. There is the Great Lakes Tissue Mill in Michigan, and there is the or whole carton recycling solution, continuous materials in Iowa. So this is not a mill. It's a different process that involves shredding the cartons and pressing them to make building materials. There's the Kimberly-Clark mill in Mexico, takes cartons as well as export, mainly India and Vietnam. And you'll see a note there at the bottom right that a new recycler, Kelly Green Products, based in Connecticut, is scheduled to come on board soon. So why this REOI? So the driver for this is that the carton recovery rate in Ontario has been declining, unfortunately. And we're not sure why. We use the information reported by Stewardship Ontario annually as part of the fee setting process. And the performance information that's reported is based on what you see in the blue box at the top on the right. So the tons of cartons sold to end markets divided by the tons of cartons put on the market or sold in Ontario. So we're not sure of the reasons, but we know there have been challenges experienced by some Ontario recycling programs. So you'll see that we're down to a recycling rate of about 40% for 2022. And while in 2019, it was up around 54%. So we want to reverse this trend, and we're hoping that this REOI could help. So the what, the who, and the how much. So the purpose, as I said, is to solicit projects focused on helping improve the carton recovery rate in Ontario. Who's eligible? Municipalities and waste management companies that are operating MRFs that process residential blue box material in Ontario, as well as other entities that are responsible for operating these programs, like service boards, not-for-profits, et cetera. We have set aside an aggregate amount of $70,000 for this calendar year. And the two notes you'll see there, the first one is if there's a greater number of projects brought forward that can be accommodated, we'll give priority to those that are most likely to have the greatest impact on the Ontario carton recovery rate. And also to note that projects that are not accommodated this year may be considered for 2023. The focus areas are those that you see on the slide currently. So we've kind of assign them to five different buckets. The first one being consulting services to enable or optimize the carton sorting process. So this could include MRF configuration, sorter placement, technology, storage. Secondly, we have financing for audits. Number three is financing for pilot projects and equipment. Number four are awareness campaigns. And then the last bucket is really any other focus area that would benefit carton recovery. And we also know that cartons do not have to be the sole focus of the proposed project. So if you're planning some upgrades, or you're planning something broader, and you can weave in a carton focus component at the same time, then that works for us. So in this slide, I try to pull examples of small yet impactful projects that were implemented by MRFs that benefited cartons. So the first one is Tri-Centri. This is an organization that operates three MRFs in Quebec. So the one in Gatineau is an 85,000 ton per year facility. So previously they were sorting cartons in what they referred to as suboptimal manner. So it involved using mobile carts for cartons rather than a dedicated chute and bunker. So the MRF decided to split an existing bunker in half, and that allowed the manual sorter to be reassigned to a more optimal location on the line. And with this adjustment, the facility doubled their carton volume production from 5 to 10 tons per week. The other example on the right is with quite a small facility. So this is Rare, or the township of North Glengarry. So 1,200 tons per year processed. They similarly turned a storage bunker into two by building a wall using a large piece of plywood. So now one of their chutes is designated for cartons and the other one is for a different commodity. Moving on to an example of an awareness campaign. This one is quite dated. It's from 2013, so it actually predates me at Carton Council, but at the time, The council worked with the city of Hamilton. So, and the council provided both assets and funding to, for a campaign to promote carton recycling through, local newspaper, magazine, web, social media. So the impact was, small citywide capture increases in the short time period over 2 months. And a 3% decrease in households placing cartons in the wrong stream. So for those of you who operate two stream programs and collect cartons in the container stream, I know that there's often confusion with residents who are not sure what stream cartons go into. So this campaign addressed that issue as well. And on this line, it was simply to make the point that, of course, no two MRFs are the same. And similarly, there's not a one-size-fits-all solution to sorting cartons. So just as examples, I had the opportunity to visit both the City of Kingston and the City of Peterborough's facilities recently. In Kingston, cartons are collected as part of the fiber stream, not as part of the container stream. And they're hand sorted then at the end of the fiber line. While in Peterborough, cartons are collected in the container stream and they're hand picked off the container residue line. And just to put that into contrast with a much larger facility, GFL's Arrow Road MRF, which my understanding is has a capacity of over 200,000 tons per year. So their cartons are sorted with a combination of optical sorting, a robotic arm, which you don't quite see on this picture, but this is the robot arm is just above in the picture, and then a quality control by a person. So I might just pause here to see if there are any questions that people would like to bring up at this stage. I'll give you a few seconds to unmute if that's the case. Okay, hearing none, I'm going to continue. So one thing that we've heard, and that certainly comes to mind, is this is all fine and good, but we're in the middle of a transition. So does it really make sense to go and try to make changes to our existing programs to increase the to benefit cartons? I would, in response to that, I would bring up the following points, is that we see this as an opportunity under the new Blue Box regulation for future service providers, both municipal and private, given that cartons will be on the list of mandated items for collection, and that most likely there will be a requirement to sort them into their own grade. So we see this as if implementing actions now can help actors get ready for the transition and position them as strategic long-term partners to the PROs and their producers. Okay, so I just have two or three slides left. So this gets more into the how. So how to apply, it's a straightforward, simple process. It's an online form that you access through the through our website. And I've summarized kind of the six categories of questions we're asking you to fill out. So basic stuff, contact person, name of organization, then a brief description of the project and how it will help grow carton recovery. A project budget estimate, so a range for both capital and labor costs, the amount that's being sought from Carton Council and from any other sources, if applicable, the timeline for the project, including key project milestones, and whether the project is confirmed or whether it is still in the proposal stage and contingent upon approvals or other things to happen. Okay, so in terms of important dates and timelines, so to be eligible for consideration, the projects must be completed within a maximum of 2 years of the REOI's launch. So that means by May 2024. The deadline to apply is coming up. It's in July. It's July 4th. And we are committing to getting back to all the respondents by September 1st. And at the bottom, you have the link for the complete information. It's a PDF document that goes through all of the content in more detail, as well as there's a link for the submission form. And I believe, yes, this brings me to the end of the presentation. So now, I hope you have questions for me, and I'd love to hear your thoughts overall, comments. So the floor is open. Please don't be shy. And I know some had contacted me previously with questions, and maybe John Watson at DiceArt, not to put you on the spot, but I know you were wondering if your particular project idea would be eligible. So I'm curious to see if you found the information helpful, if you think that you'll be putting forward something.
Yeah, the information today has been super helpful. I think DiceArt will submit. Admittedly, we do not operate a MRF, but I think from a public awareness perspective, we have a project that I think would maybe be a good fit. So we will definitely be submitting for the REOI. We're just in kind of reviewing our plan here, but it looks like we have something that I think Card Council could be agreeable to.
Great. Okay, look forward to it. Thank you. Who else could I put on the spot here? is the person representing North Bay, I believe, I met your colleague at the Canadian Waste to Resource Conference, and she seemed interested. So I don't think I see you on the line, but if you are from North Bay, be great to hear from you. Okay. There's also Melanie at GFL. We had exchanged emails briefly. I don't know if you similarly, if you found the information helpful, if you think this would apply to any of the GFL facilities across the province.
Maybe I'll jump in for Melanie, and she might be muted. Also from GFL, it's Maria.
Okay. Hi, Isabel. You're showing up as Melanie.
Okay, I think Melanie's also on the line, but maybe I'll just take the stage. So I think it was really helpful. One question is that 70,000, that's aggregate. So if a number of projects come in, it won't just be, or it will be divided amongst those projects. So it may be one or several projects operating, or is it just one?
Correct. So it's an aggregate amount of 70,000 that will be allocated amongst the proposals that we receive.
Okay.
So if we only get one, depending on how much is being requested, there's a chance that it would be allocated just to the one. But if we get more, then we would, it would be split up. And if there's more requests than what we could accommodate, we'll prioritize based on the impact on carton, on growing the carton recovery. So the projects that we judge being more most impactful will get priority.
Okay, awesome.
And then
thank you.
Depending on how this goes, we would potentially have a similar call REOI in 2023, and then we would be considering those that we could not accommodate this year.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. And then I'm just noticing in the chat, I think Melanie is posting, says, can you expand on your comment whereby Carton Council is open to weaving the cartons into another project?
Yeah, so what I mean by that is you don't have to come up with a project idea that is only about cartons. If you already are planning something and you think there's a way that a carton focus component could be incorporated in your existing plans, that works as well. Does that answer your question, Melanie? Okay, any other questions or comments? If not, then just to let you know, we will make the slides available on our website as well as the recording. And I'm only a phone call or email away if you have questions or you'd like to discuss things one-on-one. I'd be more than happy to do that. And I hope you'll consider submitting a response by July 4th. And again, thank you very much for your time and having cut into your lunch hour today. Much appreciated. And with that, I will wrap it up and just maybe one more chance. Any more questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll wish you a good afternoon and hope to hear from you soon. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.